I know you're passionate about this subject. We had very, very good evidence of that. At 9:30 today, we opened up our phone lines to discuss this boycott, this proposed boycott of Loblaws. And we were talking about the outrageous prices, some examples of outrageous prices you see at grocery stores. Let me tell you, our phone lines lit up and getting calls from people about how you're saving money at the grocery store and price matching and on and on and on. You guys care about what you're paying for groceries. I know I do, by the way. I'm looking at this every single time I go to the grocery store. And I will say this, I'm shopping at more places than I ever have. You know, in the past, I'd go to one or two places. Now, in a given month, I'm going to four or five different places, all in search of the best deal. Now, there is this proposed proposed boycott of Loblaws' own chains in May. Let's now go to Sylvain Charlebois. You know him and love him as the food professor out of Dalhousie University. He's on the line. Sylvain, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, everything now, everything is political. It doesn't matter what the subject is. Everything's political. And I was talking about this, as I mentioned, off the top here. We were talking about it 2 hours ago on the show. And I had a listener send out a message to me on the text line saying, Elias, you're a Loblaws apologist, right? Because I was just pointing out that, you know, profit margins and different banners, Maxi and Provigo, all this kind of stuff. And I know I've seen some of the things directed at you. When you just try and have an open conversation about groceries in this country, you get some vitriol pointed your way on social media. What's your take on all that? And how Loblaws and groceries has become such a political hot potato?
Well, first of all, I think because of food inflation, it really, higher food prices have forced people to rethink their lifestyle, to think about their budget. And of course, it's not just about food prices. It's the cost of living, interest rates, debts, mortgages, everything happened all at once. And people have tried to make sense of what was going on. And if you're not familiar with supply chain economics, if you don't understand how the food industry works, well, and if you don't understand how to read financial reports, obviously you will point at one thing you know very well, and that's the grocery store. So a lot of people think that grocers are in control of pricing entirely, and which is not the case, of course. And so you and I, we look at the evidence, we look at the data, and there is no evidence that grocers are profiteering. However, that's not how people feel.
Mm-hmm.
People feel angry. And to a certain extent, we must sympathize with the people who feel vulnerable, unprotected, frustrated, because, you know, we've seen some scandals. I mean, the bread price fixing scheme, for example, nobody went to jail, nobody went to prison. There's lots of baggage. And frankly, Loblaw is not blameless either. Over the last several months, we've seen several PR blunders by the company. And Gellin Wesson is well known too. So I get it. I appreciate where people are coming from. But certainly the boycott, is it a bad idea? It's not necessarily a bad idea. But I actually do think the way that they're framing the narrative to support the boycott is a missed opportunity altogether.
Tell me more about that. Why is it a missed opportunity?
Because the focus is about Loblaw, and frankly, it's not just Loblaw that is offering higher food prices. It's everyone, not just one in particular. Two, well, if you actually look at what's going on up the food chain between grocers and suppliers, that's when you realize Loblaw abuses its power along with Walmart. And you and I, we spoke about this. We spoke about the code of conduct. We talked about the lack of discipline in the marketplace. And Loblaw right now is killing companies, suppressing competition out the food chain, and that eventually impacts consumers because we have fewer choices at the grocery store and less competition. That is the real problem, not the gouging at the grocery store.
So I want to talk to you about that side of things, right? Because when I was thinking about what are the egregious examples of outrageous pricing, the thing that gets me the most is walking to the grocery store and seeing a bag of potato chips, Lay's potato chips, $5. And to me, it's just crazy. I know if I can get the, you know, the house brands, they go on sale at times for 97 cents for crying out loud, and $5 for a bag of potato chips. I just don't see how it could get there. But it's not lost on me. It's in recent memory. There was a big battle between Pepsi Frito-Lay, right? And Loblaws, where they pulled the products off the shelves because Loblaws was telling Pepsi, hey, your chips cost too much. So I see those examples too, but then you bring up this other side of things that you feel Loblaws is actually squeezing out certain competition. So how do you think they do on that end, right? Does Loblaws do a good enough job trying to protect the consumer at times?
It's protecting itself. It's protecting margins, absolutely. The stop sell you heard about between Pepsi, Lay's, and Loblaw is exactly that. So the difference between what happened between Lay's and Loblaw and other cases that, well, the Lay's dispute with Loblaw, we heard about it. It went public. It was ugly, very ugly. But let me tell you, it happens all the time. And you know what? Suppliers tend not to survive. Mm-hmm. This is Pepsi. Lay's, the producer of Lay's is Pepsi. They're big enough to survive a spat with Loblaw. Uh-huh. But most small, medium-sized businesses, mom-and-pop shops out there making chips or marmalade or whatever they're selling, juices, they won't survive Loblaw. And that's the real problem. And so that's why I've always believed that the boycott, yes, a good idea to engage Canadians so they can understand exactly what the issues are within the grocery business. But right now, I just don't see it. I don't see a dialogue.
So how
if I were to be called by the boycotters, mm-hmm. and if they were to ask me, okay, if we want to be rational, if we want to be logical about this, what should we do? The one advice I would give them, encourage Canadians to boycott all big box stores, all at once.
All big box, gotcha.
Yes, and mm-hmm. go to independently owned businesses. And in Montreal, you got tons of them, and they offer good deals. Two, I would have done it a few months ago, because right now, if you look at food prices, they're actually dropping. Yeah. Things are actually getting better. So they kind of missed an opportunity there.
And that's what I'm thinking. Like May rolls around. If I'm Loblaws, I come up with the greatest specials of all time that month. So what are you going to do if you've decided you're going to boycott in May, but Loblaws decides to put on crazy specials? Are you actually going to stick to your boycott? You know, I think it's very tricky.
Absolutely. So I do think that right now we're simplifying a much more complex issue. And it's unfortunate because it's getting a lot of airtime, mm-hmm. and it's not accomplishing anything.
How could we fix the issue that you've brought up, right? Where Loblaws and other behemoths here put this squeeze on the suppliers, right? How could we fix that? Would that take new regulations, laws, a code of conduct? How do we fix that?
It's the code of conduct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty, this is what I've mentioned in Parliament three times now, I guess. Mm-hmm. We've presented some data in terms of how the market would look like with a code of conduct. Prices would be less volatile. We wouldn't see the spikes we saw a few years ago, and we would see more manufacturing, more options offered to consumers in the end. And so that's kind of what we're aiming for. But it's I got to tell you, it's a complicated concept to explain to people mm-hmm. On X or on social media. People are always looking to divide arguments. They're looking at attacking the messenger, mm-hmm. And that's what's happening to me. They're just attacking the messenger, and it's probably happening to you as well.
Well, it does, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not about the message or the debate itself, which is unfortunate.
Sylvain, just one quick thing. This is a message from the text line. Someone is bringing up the cost of transportation, the price of diesel fuel, right? They say, have you seen the price of diesel fuel? And I know it's up here. What about that side of thing? Is the cost of transportation, is that a part of the hurt that Canadians are facing at the grocery store?
Oh, absolutely. It's one factor. You got tariffs, you got taxes, you got labor, you got tons of factors affecting food prices for sure. Absolutely.
All right, Sylvain, we're going to leave it there. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You're welcome back on the show anytime. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.